several good candidates, and they couldn't get together for a period on who they wanted to back. Now they've chosen Howard Way. He's a good man, and I congratulate him. At the same time, however, I want to say this, that the outgoing president pro tem of the Senate, Hugh Burns, has been most cooperative, has never resorted to any narrow partisanship, has been completely bipartisan and devoted to what he thinks is the welfare of the state. And I've enjoyed working with him and cooperating him and with him, and I'm sure that the same thing will go forward, of course, under Senator Way.
Do you have a personal relationship with Senator Way?
Well, we're very well acquainted, and he's been a leading figure in the Senate up there, so there won't be any problem of having to get to know him.
Will this change in leadership have any adverse effect on any of the legislative programs that are now pending?
Well, I don't think it should have. I know there was a great deal of competition between several prospective presidents pro tem, but they are all well aware. Every one of them knows that the administration has kept its nose out of this whole situation and left the legislature to solve the legislature's problems, so I don't think it should reflect on any of our administrative programs.
Will the election of a Republican to this post make it better for administrative programs in the Senate?
Well, I think that any time, of course, that you have the executive branch and the majority of a legislature, you have a better chance of cooperation if it's one party. We're not very experienced in that, I might add, in California. We've been pretty divided up.
Governor Reagan, today the Committee for Political Action charged that 15,000 students aren't going to be able to get into college next fall because of budgetary difficulties. They said that they are lacking enough money to get students into college for the starting term. Do you have any comment on what can be done about this? If you plan to do anything about it, or if it's true?
Well, now, are they speaking about the budgetary requirements of the individual students who can't afford to go, or are they talking about the limitations on the university and the college system?
Both.
Well, we have increased the amount of scholarships available every year since I've been here. We advocated and did double the number of scholarships. So the student problem, as far as needy students are concerned, I think we've done everything that can be asked of the taxpayers, and we'll continue to do so as far as helping them go. Now, as far as the university is concerned and whether budgetary limitations require any restricting of students there, I can only say that the common term of budget cuts in the university and the colleges is a complete falsehood. There has been no budget cut. They are referring to reductions that have had to be made in the requested amounts. But it still holds true that per capita, the amount of money that is being spent on the state college and state university system, the burden per capita on the individual in California is higher today than it has ever been in the history of the state. We have continued to increase the budgets for the colleges and universities. We can't give them all they ask, but that's true of every department. The only way that you would be able to meet the problem of giving the universities and colleges all they ask financially would be to take the money away from some other very important government agency or department or service, curtail some other service. Now, we're doing the best we can in that regard. I might say one thing about that. The universities and the colleges would have a few million dollars more that they could spend on education if they'd stop burning down the schools and breaking the windows and destroying the buildings, because that's about the score to date that we have to provide a few million dollars in money to repair the damage done by the dissident minority.
President Hayakawa told the Senate committee today in Washington that he thought that the backlash caused by this trouble was going to have an adverse effect on the colleges and the attempts to get more money from the legislature. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. This is possibly true. I think a great many of us have wondered how long it's going to be before people in their frustration and rage rise up and begin to take some action on their own against the rioters and the disturbers of the peace in the campus. So far, I think the control of both the majority of students and the rest of the people has been something to see. Now, we don't want it to come to that. And the answer to that is for those administrators in colleges and universities who still haven't been able to bring themselves to taking firm action against the dissidents. When they start taking that action, they will go a long way toward reducing any possibility or any potential backlash.
Governor Reagan, do you feel that knocking out the $2.5 million in ELP funds would necessarily be the way to put out the fires in the campuses?
No, and I don't think anyone's ever proposed that. When I used the term minority a little while ago, let me make one thing plain. I am talking about purely numbers. Minority meaning that fraction of the student body that is causing the trouble. Now, the dissidents, the real rebels, cross all lines, racial and religious and ethnic background and economic. They range from not only the student who has to work on up to those of more affluent parents, but the same is true of the majority. I did not use and do not use minority in the sense of referring to one of our minority communities, because frankly, the professional rebels, the SDS, the dissidents, they couldn't care less whether we get ethnic studies programs or black studies programs or programs that would help our large community of Americans of Mexican descent. They are out purely to create trouble, purely to transform the university campuses into launching pads for insurrection. And they are using the legitimate grievances of these other students, using them as an excuse to try and get allies to their cause. And the quicker we realize this, I think the very responsible elements, the vast majority of our Americans of Mexican descent, our Negro community, our Oriental communities, are shoulder to shoulder with the rest of us in wanting an end to this rioting, this disruption, and the lawlessness.
We'll have to limit it to one more question.
That's the call for the
one.
Well, I don't know whether I'm the one to...
Governor, in view of...
Hold it. No,
yeah.
I'm on my way back to the coast. No, unfortunately, they have schedules for governor's wives, too, and they find themselves now and then on the mashed potato circuit.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, John.
Governor, in view of the campus disorders that are going on and also some of the philosophy of the college students, do you feel that there will be such a thing as a Horatio Alger Award, say, 20, 25 years from today?
Oh, sure. I am very optimistic about the outcome of this. I think the campus, as I've said so many times, has to be divided into the two groups. There is a normal unrest and a ferment on the campus among the great majority of students because in the great growth of education and the numbers and the size of schools, there is very definitely a need for some changes and some corrections, and the students are aware of it. I think there are too many professors engaged in research and writing that students are turned over to teaching assistants. They're rebellious about this. They have a feeling they can't get their suggestions, their complaints through to anyone in the so-called establishment. But this is normal and we should be doing something about it. The other factor that I think is behind the violence is a revolutionary group that is seizing upon this unrest to further their own aims. I consider them kind of professional agitators who present themselves as students and faculty members, and I think they have to be met with full resistance so we can get at the important business of solving the problems that are so much a part of the complaint of the majority of students. Whatever it takes to ensure that those who want to learn and those who want to teach can learn and teach without being intimidated, coerced, or interfered with and harassed by the dissident few who would close the campuses.
Would this mean a martial law on our campuses?
What?
Does it in fact mean a martial law?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the only time that I think police are called to a campus is when, under the same circumstances, they would be called to any other part of the community when there is outright lawbreaking taking place. The answer to this second part of the college problem, well, the answer to both parts, lies with the present administrators of the colleges and universities. When they finally wake up and recognize that there is a difference between the legitimate student complaints and the dissidents, and when they are willing to take the action necessary on the campus, within campus rules and due process, to ensure the rights of those who want to get an education, then this will end.
And yet some, sir, like Dr. Buell Gallagher of CCNY, have found that they couldn't mediate, that they've had to step down.
Exactly. And I think this is, you saw a classic example. You saw a professor, a president on the West Coast, a professor also, Dr. Hayakawa, who said that the rights of all must be protected. And therefore, he was going to keep the college open for those who wanted to get an education. He called in whatever force was necessary to protect the rights of those who were trying to go to class and get an education. And today, I don't say that it's all over, that there won't be repeated attempts, but today you have peace and quiet. Dr. Gallagher, and with all due respect, took another course. He said, all right, I will close down the college and I will negotiate. And he found out something that others of us have learned in the past. You can negotiate with the legitimate students over their complaints. You cannot negotiate with those rebels whose aim is revolution and who do not want a solution to the problems. And he found this out.
At least one New York newspaper has called for trying to woo Dr. Hayakawa from the West Coast to the East Coast. Do you think New York could do that?
You'd have to ask Dr. Hayakawa about that.
Governor, talking about the Vietnam War, how long do you think this war has to go on before it becomes President Nixon's war?
Well, now that depends on what paper you read. According to some of them, there's an impression being given that he started the war.
Governor, what is your opinion concerning Justice Fortas at this time?
Well, it's rather difficult for a layman in the sense of the law to comment. The court is a very peculiar thing. When I say the court, not just the Supreme Court, all the court. What we expect from a judge, the narrow path that he must tread, is perhaps more restrictive than almost any other profession. There is no question that the confidence has been shaken in the people. And I would think that today the primary objective must be a restoration of confidence in the judicial process.
Does that mean that he should resign?
Well, I would think that there would be more confidence if he did.
Governor Reagan, do you think the majority of young people today would look upon the Horatio Alger type of award as pretty corny?
Well, I think there's probably a great tendency to plant that idea, just as there's a great tendency today to downgrade all the basic principles and standards that have guided man for a great many years, to try and pretend that there are no standards anymore, that each generation makes its own standards as it goes along. I hope that by continuing and by passing them on, however, we remind rebellious youth that man has gotten as far as he has on the foundation of the past, that there are certain basic principles that do not change. And one of them is the principle epitomized here of the opportunity, there is no ceiling on it, and that there is no prescribed place at the starting line that assures you of a better chance than someone else.
Gentlemen, well, Governor, how do you view President Nixon's new draft proposal?
I haven't a chance to see it in detail. I think some corrections are needed. And I've been critical of the peacetime draft myself, although I challenge that this can be called a peacetime draft. I believe that one of the great causes of trouble has been the maintaining throughout the Vietnam War of the pretense that this was the peacetime military service with deferments granted on the basis of whether you were getting an education. Now, once the shooting starts, I think the draft must become universal with no exceptions, unless they are to aid the war effort. The minute this is over, and peace is restored. I happen to be one who believes that we try to eliminate the draft and go to a volunteer army.
Governor, you suggested that Justice Fortas resign. Is it necessary for a Supreme Court justice to completely be free from any outside activity?
Well, as I said, I'm a layman speaking, and I think that you could probably get a better interpretation or analysis of this from members of the bar, members of the profession who know the code of ethics, even unwritten, by which they must pursue their profession. I simply said, whether he should or shouldn't, that I thought there would be a restoration of confidence among a great many laymen like myself, if he did.
Has that confidence been shaken?
I think so. Whether rightly or wrongly, I don't know. I don't presume to judge whether what he did violated that unwritten code of ethics or not. I only know that in the minds of people, there has now been cast a shadow.
Thank you, Governor.
So much speculation that brings a level with the people. He has followed a policy so far in his brief term of trying to keep the people informed, and I think perhaps this is just it, to lay to rest some of the speculation.
Do you think Mr. Nixon has taken a strong enough stand with the student demonstrations and takeovers on the nation's campuses?
Well, I thought his statement was very strong, and other than the procedures of the Justice Department to see if there are any federal laws that have been broken with the crossing of state lines to incite to riot, it isn't really a national problem other than the moral persuasion power that the president has, and I'm grateful for it. For a time there, I was kind of a soloist and didn't enjoy it. It's nice to be a member of the chorus.
Governor, you agree with assessment Doctor of the first 3.5 months of the Nixon administration?
Well, going back in memory to my own first few months in a much smaller assignment, I think this is still an organizing period, taking stock and